Good morning, dear ones. Please arise. Let us now forget the world and unite our consciousness that we may deeply commune with God. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, beloved God, beloved Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashai, Swami Shukteswarji, Aguru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we humbly bow to all of you. Most beloved God, we humbly lay at thy feet the garland of our united hearts. Receive our humble love. And bless each one of us with ever-increasing awareness of thy loving presence. Om. Peace. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing a song today which describe the day, the blessed day, when you and me, one day, we will regain our cosmic consciousness. We are all cosmic beings. As the Bible says, no one can ascend into heaven unless he first came down from heaven. Therefore, all of us originated from cosmic consciousness. Therefore, through incarnations of preparations of the body to receive that final touch of immortality, Paramahansa Yogananda say one day in meditation, as a huge cosmic flash of light, at that moment it will enter into you and reactivate the 30,000 billion brains, not cells, but brain in your body, and you will have again cosmic consciousness. Therefore in that song you are saying, who is in my temple? The moment you and me will realize who is within you, all the doors will open themselves. I mean, all the inner spheres of consciousness, called the chakras, will open up one by one. All the light, which right now all our chakras are more or less in darkness, for we're using all the energy outwardly. At that moment, all the light will light themselves. All the light will balance itself. That is why there's nothing more absurd when you hear people telling you they can balance your chakras. My idea, to balance your chakras, you have to have that great cosmic energy at the base of the spine to rise up, called the kundalini, the coil force, and then you go into ecstasy. The moment you balance your chakra, instantly you're in ecstasy. So in that song, all the doors do open themselves, all the light do light themselves, and darkness, the accumulated karma of countless incarnations in our subconscious mind, is destroyed in 1 second by that cosmic light. And darkness, like a dark bird, fly away, fly away. So one day, it will come to each one of us when we go back to God and be one with Him again. Oh, the light do light themselves. spine straight, so no meditation is possible as long as you pinch nervous sympathetic system in your spine. The spine must be free and straight. The head must be straight. And the attention at the point between the eyebrows. This is the door of superconsciousness. Unless the eyes are turned up at the point between the eyebrows, no meditation is possible. Three states of consciousness, the way you hold your physical eyes. Subconscious, conscious, and superconscious. When you turn both eyes at the point between the eyebrows, you neutralize the positive and negative current of the medulla oblongata. Therefore, if you do not put your eyes, your attention, and your eyes at the point between the eyebrows, you are just sitting, not meditating. So use your will to keep the attention there. You repeat after me this affirmation. Visualize what the word you are saying. Visualize it as light entering into your body. Please repeat after me. Beloved God, may the sunlight of thy wisdom burst forth from behind the darkness of our minds. And may thy great outpouring of light, thy great outpouring of power, thy great outpouring of peace and happiness, thy great outpouring of joy, abide with us forever and forever. Om, peace. Amen. When you come into the temples of self-realization, you do not come here to be entertained or to listen to some metaphysical or psychic acrobatics. You come here for only one purpose, to motivate yourself to meditate. Because it is only when we have been able to convince you to meditate steadfastly every day that we have accomplished anything behind this podium. If I cannot convince you of meditating to be able to receive the grace of God, to make yourself more and more receptive to the grace of God, then I am talking in vain. I am talking in a desert. And I hope it is not so. Because you have to understand that life must be a constant expansion of enthusiasm, of motivating power, in which you are going to really become interested in your own self. The whole external world will not uplift you. As the Bhagavad Gita say, the Hindu Bible, lift the self by the self. And we came here for only one purpose in this school of wisdom, to regain our divinity. Everything else is vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Therefore today, instead faith, beliefs and wisdom, actually, it is through wisdom that you can make a sound investigation of what beliefs are. Wisdom unites all people. It's simple. The moment you have wisdom, you have such expansion that automatically you understand that the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Jew, the Hindu, the Christian, all of them are going the same direction of one God. What separates religion between religion is beliefs. Therefore, unless you have wisdom, you cannot soundly investigate what beliefs are. But as you proceed in meditation, in deeper and deeper tangible perceptions of God, the Master say, it becomes transformed into a dynamic and intuitive faith structure by direct experience. It's like reincarnation, my dear. Either you know, or you don't know. That's simple. At the age of 69, you knew about reincarnation. How do I know? I knew. I don't care if the rest of the world didn't believe in it. I knew from within. Therefore, the science of yoga, we don't juggle from one belief to the other. We advance only in the degree that individually we experience through meditation. So that must say, direct experience of hearing, feeling and seeing the various aspects of God from within. God cannot be known by thoughts. By thought process A is beyond thoughts. His creation is made of a dream texture known as the cosmic dream. But he is the only reality which manifests throughout his cosmic dream as omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent feelings. What is first, thoughts or feelings? Answer that to yourself. Which one is first, thoughts or feelings? William James say, they are so close together you cannot separate them. Well, Yogananda did separate them for us. Feeling is first. Amazingly enough, the feeling is first. Therefore, God manifests as omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresent feeling through creation. It is why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Therefore, now, let me show you the God which has been taught, more or less, but very few actually know this, but among the various churchianity of the world. A God they cannot understand. They tell you that God was first as cosmic intelligence, but we behold cosmic ignorance in the same time. We know that God was cosmic light, and God found the light was good, so he created the light. But we have cosmic darkness. You and me in complete darkness, because each time we close our eyes, we are living in a sea of light, and we see nothing but darkness. Why? Because we are living in a subconscious mind. There is cosmic sound. There is Mozart, and there is the Black Sabbath. Okay? There is cosmic wisdom. We unite all people, and there is cosmic confusion. There is cosmic joy, and there is cosmic sorrow. Because everybody experiences death and do not know they are immortals, so they suffer horribly of the separation of death. Then there is cosmic peace. Who has peace in this world? Cosmic unrest. There is cosmic beauty and cosmic ugliness, the way mankind treats each other with war, starvation and torture. Then we have cosmic love and we have cosmic hatred. That, my dear, is the dream. It exists only as a dream. So fine, but I'm the one dreaming it, I'm the one experiencing it, correct. Therefore God says, all right, meditate, and something else is going to appear in you, which the Lord Krishna says, O Arjuna, be anchored in that which is changeless, and that is cosmic bliss. In bliss there is no dream, in bliss there is no duality, there is no opposite. When you attain cosmic bliss, all those aspects of God are only one positive aspect of creation. But as long as you are in duality with your mind, and you know God only through the intellect and beliefs, ask anybody who believes, he say, do you believe God is a God of love? Yeah. How do you explain all the misery of the world? I can't. You can't. No. Why not? Because it's a dream. Yeah, it's a fine dream. The sooner we are out of that dream, the better. That's why Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, get out of my delusion. So here you have the nine aspects of God in creation, which can be felt, which can be seen, or can be heard only from within. We have no physical senses who can give us the sight of God. When Moses met God, he didn't meet with his two eyes. He met him with that great intuition of his soul, as how he met God. Therefore, Patanjali, the delineator of the science of yoga, or the Eightfold Path tellers. The sage Patanjali, who was the delineator of the Eightfold Path of yoga, he lived several centuries before Jesus Christ, and thought that the authority of the scriptures is not proof of their truth, because no matter who propound them, the scriptures have to be received with the sight, hearing, limited imagination, and reasoning power of the reader. Further, as you all know by now, since 553 AD, the Byzantine Emperor Justinian took over the Bible, and for more than 500 years, the Bible, imprimatur, was in the hands of the imperial family. So the Bible has been thoroughly mutilated. Everything they didn't like, they remove it. It is why in 1054, finally Rome had enough of the Byzantine Church, the Orthodox Church, and excommunicated each other, because of the mutilation of the Bible. Therefore, today we have 275 different Christian denominations, each one preaching his own interpretation of Jesus Christ. A hearth which is divided shall fall. There was only one church who was supposed to exist. Which one is that? The one Jesus put upon Peter. Figure out which one it is. I'm not going to put myself in a hot bath, but you know it. I did last time. So they must say, it's according to Patanjali, the real inner teaching of a cosmic Christ cannot be understood through the testimony of others, nor by listening to their interpretations, but can only be grasped by testing them directly by the power of intuition. Intuition only, the Hindu give you the proper etymology of the word intuition. Agacchati iti, that which flows of itself, your own omniscience, your own omnipresence, your own omnipotence. That's what we are. That's why Jesus said, know ye not that ye are gods and children of the Most High. But we do not believe those things because we don't know them. We do not know we are divine. When we look at our behavior in our daily life, we lose faith in ourselves. Therefore, John in chapter 3, verse 11, speaking from a state of cosmic consciousness, for John had cosmic consciousness, he said, we speak what do we know and testify that we have seen. And in 6:46 he said, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Well, such a man was Moses. Such a man was Abraham. Such a man and woman all throughout the centuries, at one time or the other, have met and spoken with God. Therefore, Paramahansa Yogananda translated those words. He said, you must realize that no one who is identified with his earthly body can become one with me, the Christ intelligence, or the cosmic Christ, the formless Christ, which is present beyond the state of human consciousness. The very nature of the intellect, which is capacity for rational and intelligent thoughts, is fed with data which are perceived and inferred upon by the senses, which aiming behold the universe as ceaseless fluctuations. At no time will he attain an ultimate and static knowledge. The very nature of the universe is ceaseless motions. It is born, it exists, it transforms itself into different forms or enter a new dimension. And so is every cell of your body. How can you understand your wife? How can you understand your husband when the whole system moves the universe? Everything is ceaselessly changing. It is only through intuition that you're going to know your husband and your wife. And what is that quality of intuition? L-O-V-E, love. When you have deep love, you have deep intuition. Only when you truly love a person can you truly understand that person. Here I quote a man which I always deeply admire. I won't call him a saint, but I think he was one. Albert Einstein. They say about him, in the biography they wrote about him, they say, one of the things this dark-haired young German exploded as a bomb into the scientific camp was his contention that our view of science is relative, that we judge for our human senses, which never testify truly to anything, not objectively, but subjectively. In this theory, he undermined the classical traditional mechanistic laws which scientists have hitherto used in their calculation and fixing of heavenly events, the construction of the universe. He attacked the fundamental law of these laws with the most radical and revolutionary view ever proclaimed by one man since the world began. He said in one grand sweeping gesture of language, that these laws were fiction, unreliable, sense impression, and must be brushed away. Our great scientist Albert Einstein is just saying exactly what the science of yoga is telling us, that there is no reality here, an endless fluctuating creation in which you are passing through like a gypsy. Why do you take your life so seriously when you are here only for a few years? Further, he said about the universe, a human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest. a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desire and to affection for a few people nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole nature and its beauty. Those are the words of Albert Einstein, a man who had direct connection with God as cosmic intelligence. He didn't use the word God. He used that great infinite intelligence when he said, "I do not try to understand the universe. I try to understand how God thinks about the universe." To me, that is a magnificent statement. Let's sing together, "Door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee," because we will understand all things through the feelings, not through the intellect. Open wide I keep for thee, door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee. Will thou come, just for once come to me. Will thou come, just for once come to me. Will my day fly the way without seeing thee, my Lord? Will my day fly the way without seeing thee, my Lord? Night and day, I look for thee, night and day, Lord, night and day. I look for thee night and day. Door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee. Door of my heart, open wide I keep for thee. Will thou come, just for once come to me. Will thou come, just for once come to me. Will my day fly away without seeing thee, my Lord? Will my day fly away without seeing thee, my Lord? Night and day, I look for thee night and day, I look for thee night and day. To be able to understand those great thoughts, you have to reprogram your subconscious mind. You have to understand, as we have, for instance, Tchaikovsky music. When you listen to Tchaikovsky music, you are not only listening his music. Inside the capsule of the sound are the character, the feelings, and the personality of Tchaikovsky in that music. Therefore, the master says, when you read the book, whatever you do, when you think, mean to vibrate with. Whenever you put your mind there, whatever you look at or study or watch the television, it begins to reprogram your DNA code in your brains, known as psychoneurobiochemistry. Therefore, if you want to reprogram your subconscious mind to live in a higher world, you have to begin to feed it with data which are highly spiritual, which are going to reprogram your whole life, the way you look at it. What is this? A piece of paper? No, a mass of energy. Therefore, Yogananda said, God is the only guru, but he has chosen me as a humble instrument to show you the way. Therefore, I have impregnated every single word of this teaching with the spirit of my Father. Therefore, he said, the lesson, when you study Yogananda's work, whatever you study of him, you are in tune with one who was one with God. Therefore, it would make a great difference if every day you spend 30 minutes a day, you study every day, reprogramming your mind with high potential and potent energy, you're going to see the world in a completely different way. That's why meditation is so important. And in a long talk with the author George Sylvester Wirk, Einstein spelled out his beliefs in a very simple language. He said, in the first place, the human mind, no matter how highly trained, is not capable of grasping the universe. We are like a little child entering a huge library. The walls are covered to the ceiling with books in many different tongues. The child knows that someone must have written those books. It does not know who or how. It does not understand the language in which they are written. But the child notices a definite plan in the arrangement of the books, a mysterious order which he does not comprehend, but only dimly suspects. That, it seemed to me, is the attitude of the human mind toward God. And because I believe this, I am not an atheist. So with the human mind, no matter how far you're going to stretch that mind, you cannot know God. You can have cosmic mind. You can go into all the way to the edge of the causal and the astral and the physical and still not know God. You know his creation, but not him. Therefore, Yogananda said, do not think that you can comprehend the infinite Lord by reason. Reason can grasp only the cause and effect principle that pertains to the phenomenal worlds. In order to hold the infinite truth, intelligence must be expanded or enlarged by meditation until it becomes a boundless cup of intuition. Now, there lies a problem. How are you going to expand your intelligence? By reading more books? By meditating more? What is your intelligence in you? Your conscience, my dear, your conscience is God's intelligence vibrating through you. Therefore, it is impossible for you to expand your consciousness into the infinite unless you live a life of high righteousness and high morality. How you enlarge that intelligence of God only when you begin to say, O Lord, I say, blessed are they who thirst for righteousness and hunger for righteousness, for they shall be blessed by thy power. You're going to receive it from God. The more you pray for righteousness, you try to be moral, the stronger you become, the more expanded you become. Therefore, he said that intelligence must be expanded or enlarged by meditation until it becomes a boundless cup of intuition. If you are not meditating and thus quickening your intuition, you will roam for incarnations until you have gathered enough intuitional experiences to know all truth and thereby regain your own cosmic consciousness as spirit is. Here and now, we are supposed to regain our cosmic consciousness in this physical form, not when you go in the astral, the causal. You come back here to attain, regain your cosmic consciousness. Therefore, the Kriya Yoga technique based upon itself upon intuition. The more earnest you are about it, the wider and greater will be your vision of reality, which is God. It is through intuition that humanity reaches divinity. In the practice of Kriya Yoga, the influences of the senses gradually vanishes, and intruding thought disappear, and bliss God is realized, the consciousness in all in one, and one in all is dawned upon us. That technique of Kriya Yoga, remove your consciousness from the thoughts into a constant increasing feeling. This is by intuition that God is realized in all his aspects. We have no sense that can reveal knowledge of him. The senses give knowledge of only his manifestation, thoughts and inferences. No thought and inference can enable us to know him as truly is. Only, why? Because he is infinite. Intuitive perceptions bring faith, which is quite different of beliefs. Most people do not know the difference between the two. For instance, millions believe that by just believing in Christ or Krishna or Buddha, they will be saved. But it is not simple as that. Let us see what John said in 14:22. He said, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall he do. And the Master translates, by the present, past, and all future truths which Jesus perceived within himself, he prophesied to the disciples that any devotee of any religion who by deep meditation become convinced, from the Latin convincere, to conquer all the doubts about yourself, of the presence of the all-powerful Christ consciousness in himself and in Jesus or his guru, shall be able to do all the miraculous world of healing, rising the dead, which were manifested through the body of called Jesus. This prophecy included future devotees, for he meant that all who were and who are now and will be in tune with Christ consciousness will perform greater miracle than he demonstrated. And we find throughout all the centuries, like Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Francis of Assisi, or Saint Teresa of Avila, all kind of great saints who performed the same miracles than Jesus did. Just the same. Therefore, the Master said, the ideal of faith in ourselves is of the greatest help to us. If faith in ourselves had been more extensively taught and practiced, I'm sure a very large portion of the evil and misery that we have in the world would have vanished. Throughout the histories of mankind, if any one motive power has been more potent than others, it is the lives of great men and women. It is that kind of faith in themselves, born with the consciousness that they were to be great, that they became great. And that inner confidence, that inner poise, that inner strength is given to you each time you are meditating. After years of meditation, you gradually regain your inner confidence in yourself. When a devotee, the Master says, devotee meditates and intensely pray, he intuitively knows the presence of God as a feeling of heavenly joy which come and overwhelm him as he repeatedly communes with God. Through the intuitive conviction, he developed dynamic faith. Face-to-face realization of truth gives one intuitive conviction. The vision, true vision and understanding. Now, when you have a vision of God, if it is a true vision, everything will be explained to you. You won't have to ask anybody. Every superconscious vision you have has the full explanation with that vision. Each time you have a vision, you don't understand what it is, you were in a subconscious mind, not in a superconscious. Therefore, true wisdom gives power, for knowledge is the energy that moves the cosmic factory. Wisdom produces power over all things, and power declares the absolute authority of infallible truth. When God speaks to a realized soul, then mountains of doubt are removed from the mind of the disciple. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to divine assistance. And here let me talk to you about a Catholic sister. There was a little sister of the poor called at the shop of a Chicago baker. She told him the sister had been receiving bread by donations from the store, but the supply had been cut off because of the bread shortage. There was hardly enough bread for those who could pay, she said, and there was none for the poor. She told the baker that if he would give her some bread, she would pray to Saint Joseph for him. The baker then gave her a few loaves. Smilingly said, I do not know much about Saint Joseph, sister, but if by chance Saint Joseph has any influence with the flour millers, I would deeply appreciate anything he can do. For we bakers need flour to live, just as the poor need bread. If Saint Joseph can get me some flour, I will give you all the bread you need. He carried the loaves he had given her out to the station wagon. Re-entering his shop, he was handed a telegram. It was from a flour miller in Missouri, and this is what it said. Unexpectedly, we can let you have a carload of flour, and it is now on its way. The telegram was from a city in Missouri, St. Joseph. It didn't take him long to answer, isn't it? Believe it or not. As Bernadette Soubirous said, to those who do not believe, nothing can be explained. To those who believe, who know, nothing need to be explained. You know. Therefore, until your prayers are potent and strong enough to bring an answer from him, you are just talking to the wind. Now, don't fool yourself. When you pray to God and your mind is somewhere else, your prayer, God does not listen to it. Learn to pray as a child of God, not as a beggar. As a child of God, you own the universe. But as a mortal, you own very little. Now, if some of you have financial difficulties, in a scientific healing affirmation, are some deep affirmation in which you begin to attune yourself with forces. I practice it. With my $30 a month, believe me, I wouldn't go very far. So I practice very steadfastly the technique, and it works. Thou art my father, success and joy. I am thy child, success and joy. All the wealth of the world and the riches of the universe belong to thee, my father belong to thee. I am thy child. All the wealth of the world and the universe belong to me, oh, belong to me. I live in thoughts of poverty and wrongly fancy I was poor, so was poor. But now I am home. Thy consciousness is making me healthy, make me wealthy, make me healthy. Thou art everything, I have everything, for thou art my own. When you begin to do something about your faith, about your beliefs, because faith without actions is worthless. You have to act. The moment you have faith in something, act. Then you'll be helped. So change, the Master says, change your, as a mortal, you own very little. So change your identity. Establish yourself with the superconscious mind. If you pray at all, do not pray as a mortal. For in doing so, you cannot get more than your mortal share. But after knowing God, then you will have everything in his kingdom. Without supplication and demands, as your divine birthright. Most people lack faith in their prayers because God will not fulfill certain prayer. Like he said, I'm sick, Lord, won't you heal me? He don't ask that. You practice, Lord, I know my life to flow from brain to all my body to flow. Streaks of light do shoot through my tissue root. The floods of life in vertebrae does rush through spine and frost and spray. The cells all are drinking, their tiny mass all are shining. I'm here today. In the podium today, I was 2 days in bed. I'm today because of that. That constant affirmation, putting power of your positive mind. Therefore, if you offer continuous mental knocks at the door of inner silence, then God perforce will open the inner door and let you into the kingdom of infinity. To the one who knocks with his soul, as the dark gates of meditation, to him the inner door swings open. For anyone who persistently asks for anything, will receive an answer. You have to understand, as you become a yogi, you have a lot of karma to be burned out. The guru will take 25% of your karma, but you still have 75%. Until you can convince God you want him and him alone, you still have to work out your 75%. Therefore, your body is the ransom for your soul. You can take all the vitamin in the world, all the juices, all the mineral, exercise, everything, and your body gets sick just the same. Then you become very demoralized. Like that man who was leading a clinic of health and who died of cancer. He was not dying of cancer, he suicided actually. He became so frustrated that he killed himself. In other words, in life, don't become attached to this body. This body, the Master says, is the plate on which the divine wisdom must be eaten. And once the wisdom is eaten, you throw out the plate. So don't make up too much. When you pray to God, don't ask him so much to heal you, as much as you making the effort. God help those who help themselves. Of course, God does not always respond according to your desire. But you may be certain that God responds to the degree of receptivity afforded to him by the devotees. While prayers help those who are receptive, it does very little for those who are not. Therefore, if you pray and pray and pray, and a person is not changing, don't worry about it. You are changing. Because each time you pray, you become, if you could only see it, the moment you open your heart to prayers, a beam of light comes in you and begin to ooze out of you. If only you could see that, you would realize that when you pray, it has great value. And it goes like an arrow. It goes right to the person you are doing it. I don't know that, not by myself. I've been told that. Therefore, it does very little those who are not. We can receive God's help, but only when we try to tune with him, and only in the degree of our faith. The greater the faith, the greater the response from God. But the faith means the greater the actions. The more you begin to get hold of yourself and not let yourself, oh, I'm so sick, man, I think I'm going to die. No, you have to become like a very stoic about your life. Fight, fight, fight all the time to keep yourself alive. Faith is the instantaneous, all-knowing, all-seeing, intuitive power developed through deep meditation and conscious contact with God and one's own soul and then with God. God does not lightly reveal the what he has seen fit to keep hidden from men. It is wisest not to ask God what is going to happen to us. You have to be careful and trained to know what's going to happen to you in the future. But rather pray that He will always guide you to make the right decision. Pray every morning and evening, Heavenly Father, I will. I will reason. I will act. But guide down my reason, will, and activity in everything I should do. And the Master say, that is the request that will be pleasing to God. Remember that one. It's in the metaphysical meditation. I will reason, I will, I will act. Therefore, that is the request that will be pleasing to God. If you place your faith unreservedly in Him, you will always choose wisely. Remember, many times the things you want are not always the things that are the best for us. That is to say, they may not give us happiness which will endure. Faith is the inner light in which the presence of all finer forces invisible to the eyes and senses, is revealed as truth. In the scientific inning affirmation book, a technique there in which you can learn to use those subtle forces. For instance, every girl who is not married, I have spoken to, I have given them a specific technique by which, with deep patience, they practice that affirmation and will draw in due time, the soul, not what they deserve, but what God wants to give to them, which is much better. Therefore, the Master said, the spiritual way of avoiding mistake in choosing the right companion is to affirm deeply, after deep meditation, Heavenly Father, bless me, that I choose my life companion according to thy laws of perfect soul union. Practice this affirmation for at least 6 months with deep faith. If you have established a real attunement with God through meditation and continuous affirmation of this prayer request, you will marry a suitable companion. Or if you have been drawn toward one who is fundamentally inharmonious, the Divine Father will bring out circumstances that will prevent your making a wrong marriage. A wrong marriage is one without God. Therefore, as you become a yogi, you begin to find that God is a scientist. That the whole universe, everything works with forces which work with mathematical exactitudes. And since we do not know those forces, we are endlessly making mistakes. The wiser, the more knowledge you have about those laws, the more careful you are. If the Mafia, for instance, knew that statement of Shiv Teswar, the intelligence of men cannot be properly guided until it has understood and accepted the inescapability of karmic retribution. Anybody who commits murder has already prearranged his own murder. There is no escape there. In law, you may bypass the human law, but not the cosmic laws. And they are terrible, believe me. I have seen those karmic agents. And a testimony, they came when my stepfather died. They came to me in a dream. I tell you, they are pretty scary, eh? And you know, when you're in front of them, there is nothing in the world you can hide. Now let me give you a knowledge which you do not have the most remote idea. A knowledge that every action which you do in life is an act of faith. It connects you with powers in the universe. Only the Hindus understood that. About 18 years ago, I met by the book room over there, Satchitananda, the head of the Society of Swami Shivananda and Rishikesh. We spoke for a while, and he said, well, I will let you go. I don't want to interrupt your worship. Now, at that time, I was digging ditches in the ground. Now, what does worship have to do with digging ditches? did not realize that every action you do connected you with a face. This is the Bhagavad Gita. The natural face of the embodied is threefold: sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Sattvic means conducing to eternal freedom, rajasic means leading to bondages, and tamasic leading to destruction. Which means that in our all action in life, attuners with specific cosmic intelligent forces, and the repetition of our actions create in us specific act of consciousness, state of consciousness, would become specific ways of living. It is said as follows. Hear about it. The devotion of each man is in agreement with his inborn nature, whatever his face is, that verily is he. Your action in a daily life attune you with this specific sattvic face. Sattvic or good men and women worship by direction the devas, or invisible cosmic engineers, embodiments of spiritual qualities. The wise man pattern his life after the celestial design, and knowingly or unknowingly receive help from these deities to whom God has entrusted the highest function of the phenomenal world. There are countless cosmic engineers running this universe there. And therefore, as you begin to attune your life with righteousness, your face attunes you with great power which begin to help you. Now, rajasic face. Rajasic or worldly passionate, a man worship the yakshas, guardian spirit of wealth, and the rakshasas, astral world demons, and giants of great power and aggressions. Passionate man aspiring to wealth and power is knowingly or unknowingly adoring this cosmic embodiment of greed, ruthless strength, and egotistic ambition. Friend of mine became a gold seeker. He discovered a fortune somewhere. I told him, now you're in tune now with cosmic entities. If you are not careful, they're going to destroy you. Therefore, share some of that money with any church you want. Even if it was self-realization, I said, share it anywhere you want, but share it. He did not. He started to have vision. When he was in the desert at night, he started to have horrible vision coming at him. He wore a huge cross to protect himself, but there was nothing he could do. Finally, he took a case of dynamite, sat himself on it, and pulverized himself. Therefore, my dear, how many people have suicide? Rich people have been destroyed by their fortune, by the karma. They did not know. They know that each action connects them with powers in creation. Then tamasic face, tamasic or dull ignorance men, worship the pretas, or spirit of the dead, and the buddhas, ghosts and elemental beings. The tamasic or ignorant man knowingly or unknowingly offer his devotion to the pretas and buddhas, the spirit of the dead, an elemental nature being. As you can read in Tibetan literature, in Tantra Yoga, if you read Dr. Evan Wentz, the great yogi Milarepa, you will know it means that the Tibetan teaching of Tantra Yoga actually sells with those cosmic forces which destroy them. Therefore, by sloth, stupidity, and sense attachments, such a person fails to rise to the full stature of a human being and become enslaved to disintegrating forces beyond his comprehension and control, such as drug addictions. Those who are given to debasing habits and dullness and despair, who ignore all the inexhaustible resource of the soul, are worshippers of the dead. And Yogananda said that anyone who out of 24 hours a day does not spend 1 hour a day with God and himself is already dead. He said the only time you are truly alive is we come in with your own self, for you are not the body and you are not the mind. And when you leave your body, you will realize you have been taking care of somebody else. You have accomplished absolutely nothing during your lifetime. That's the moment of the judgment, believe me. Therefore, the Master says, our Lord is merciful and good. Keep your mind on the Heavenly Father constantly, and he will guide you unerringly to the right thing. His ways are unknown and mysterious to those who rely on their own understanding, like I just explained to you. those ways are mysterious. Why don't we know those things? Why don't we know that each word, each thought, every feeling is going to come back to us as a boomerang? And when you have enough thought, negative thoughts, it comes back to you as a terrible experience in life. Everybody on this planet is creating terrible situations in their life, all created by uncontrolled mind, activating forces. Therefore, his ways are unknown, mysterious to those who rely on their own understanding. But those who seek his face unceasingly with utmost faith and devotion, and attune their limited earthbound will with his wisdom-guided divine will, he will give the greatest blessing, directing them in every activities. Meditate intensely, and you will know exactly what course to follow to the minutest detail. Be alert to the intuitive prompting which come from within, and you will see that daily activities form a perfect pattern of spiritual and material fulfillment. Therefore, your conception of God, you say, our daily conduct must find aspiration in satisfaction of our desire, in earning money, in reading books, in passing examination, in the doing of the most trifling or the highest duties. Otherwise, it is plain that we have not felt any connection between God and life. So the more you become conscious of God, the more he will reveal within yourself that which you already know. You don't have to learn anything. You have to remove all the obstruction which prevents you to know this world. This world, he was a liar from the beginning. The whole creation is lying to you, constantly misleading you, structuring an ego personality which is not you. It is grafted upon you. And the only way you can achieve is through meditation. Be still and know I am God. As you become deeply centered into you, then you know. But until you meditate, only words.
Let's rise and sing, "Oh God, beautiful." Beautiful, oh God, beautiful, oh God, beautiful, oh God, beautiful. At thy feet, oh, I do bow. At thy feet, oh, I do bow. Oh God, beautiful, oh God, beautiful, oh God, beautiful, oh God, beautiful. In the forest thou art green, in the forest thou art green, in the mountain thou art high, in the mountain thou art high, in the river thou art restless, in the river thou art restless. In the ocean thou art grave, in the ocean thou art grave. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. At thy feet, O I do bow, at thy feet, O I do bow. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. To the serviceful thou art service, to the serviceful thou art service, to the lover thou art love, to the lover thou art love. To the sorrowful thou art sympathy, to the sorrowful thou art sympathy, to the yogi thou art bliss, to the yogi thou art bliss. O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful, O God beautiful. O
situation first for the healing of our bodies. Purification of our hearts and mind. The awakening of our souls. Peace and harmony to the world. Heavenly Father, Mother, friend, beloved God, beloved Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Mahavatar Babaji, Bari Mahashai, Swamiji Yukteswarji, our Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we humbly bow to all of you. Most beloved God, bless me with ever increasing awareness of thy loving presence, that I may realize in my daily life in a tangible way.